Hey everyone, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about Do the New You by Stephen Furtick. Sophie, why do we make these grand promises to ourselves on New Year's Eve, and then somehow end up exactly where we started by February?
Hey there, Sam, great to be here. Because, as Furtick argues, we're trying to become a new person while still holding onto an old identity. We're driving toward a new future with a worn-out map.
So it's not about behavior modification, it's about identity revelation. He says you can't just slap a new coat of paint on a crumbling foundation.
Exactly. And he uses this powerful metaphor of a new wineskin. New wine can't go into old brittle skins or they burst. The new life you want needs a new you to hold it.
That's a picture that sticks with you. So the first shift is in perspective, right? We're always looking backward, defined by past failures and labels.
Right. We carry a transcript of our mistakes and read it aloud every morning. We say, I've always been anxious, or I'm not good with money. But those aren't facts. They're identities we've accepted.
And he insists that your history is not your destiny. You're not who you were. You're who God says you are, a new creation.
Which brings us to the uncomfortable part, unlearning. The biggest obstacle isn't what you don't know. It's what you think you know that's wrong.
Oh, that's a punch in the gut. We learn to be defensive, cynical, people-pleasers, and those coping mechanisms once helped us survive. But now they're holding us back.
It's easier to stay in a familiar prison than to walk into unfamiliar freedom. Unlearning requires humility.
But then he gets practical. He says we often wait to feel ready before we act. We think, I'll start that business when I'm not scared, or I'll forgive when I feel like it.
And Furtick says feelings are the caboose, not the engine. Action precedes feeling. You can't think your way into a new way of acting. You act your way into a new way of thinking.
So if you want to be generous, you give before you feel generous. If you want to be disciplined, you wake up early before you feel disciplined. The doing creates the identity.
And he illustrates this with Peter walking on water. Peter didn't feel capable. The storm was raging, but he stepped out of the boat anyway. The miracle happened in the doing.
That's the essence of a new you, isn't it? Not a life without fear, but a life where fear doesn't have the final say.
Right. And that brings up another tough point. Not everyone will celebrate your transformation. Your old friends might feel threatened. Your family might prefer the old, manageable version of you.
They say, you've changed, and they don't mean it as a compliment. You disrupt the system when you start to grow. So you have to set boundaries, even if it disappoints people.
The new you has a new tribe. You stop letting others define who you are.
And then there's this idea of spiritual amnesia. The Israelites saw the Red Sea part and manna from heaven, yet they still complained and doubted. We do the same thing.
So you have to build a memory of God's faithfulness. Rehearse the victories. Write down when he showed up. When the storm comes, you rely on a record of faithfulness, not a fleeting feeling.
Forgiveness is another non-negotiable. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It keeps you chained to the past.
Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. It's a decision, not a feeling. You forgive to set yourself free.
And he also challenges the need to have everything figured out. You don't need to see the entire staircase, just the first step. God reveals his will progressively.
If you wait for perfect clarity, you'll never move. The new you is willing to take risks and fail forward. Failure is part of the process.
But you can't sustain a new you on a one-time emotional high. You need a daily rhythm of renewal. Spiritual disciplines, silence, prayer, and reflection.
It's a daily decision. You can't outrun your habits. If you want a new life, you need new routines that support your growth.
One of the most liberating ideas is God's grace for the gap. There's always a gap between who you are and who you want to be. And that gap can feel like condemnation.
But Furtick says the gap is a place of grace. God is patient with you. The new you is about progress, not instant perfection. You can't hate yourself into a version you love.
And then comparison. Social media shows us everyone's highlight reel, and we compare our messy behind the scenes with our polished presentation.
Comparison is the thief of joy and the enemy of your new identity. You can't become the new you if you're trying to be someone else. Run your own race.
Finally, he says the new you is like a seed. It contains the potential for a mighty tree, but must be planted, buried, and die to its current form first.
That process feels like a death. You have to let go of the old dreams, old comforts, old identity, but it's the only path to resurrection.
So the takeaway for me is that the new you is not a fantasy. It's a present reality waiting to be claimed. The only thing standing between you and it is the decision to step out of the boat.
And honestly, if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So don't wait until you're ready. Don't wait until you feel like it. Do the new you now, because the new you is waiting. We'll see you in the next one.